بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the third surah, the third chapter from Juz Amma. And it is known as Suratu Abasa, because this blessed surah, it begins with this word, Abasa. And this surah is also Makkiya, meaning it was revealed before the Hijrah, whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Mecca. And this blessed surah, it is centered around something which occurred with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is that a blind old man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he wanted to ask him some questions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was preoccupied and busy with some other people trying to give them da'wah and call them to al-Islam. And this person came and he was persistent and interrupting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he became irritated by this, abasa, and he frowned and he turned away. And so the beginning of the surah is based on this story and some of the benefits from this story. Also from the themes of this surah is regarding how stubborn and arrogant humans can be. Even though they see all of the blessings which Allah has given them, however, they still reject and they refuse to believe and they refuse to show a shukr. So this is also one of the themes of this surah. And then finally is a mention or a reminder regarding Yawm al-Qiyamah and how severe the events will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu began this blessed surah by saying, Abasa wa tawalla. And Abasa, from the word Ubus, is when somebody frowns. When somebody frowns due to being irritated or annoyed by something. And as for tawalla, watawalla ya'ni, when a person turns away. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and correcting him regarding this matter. Abasa wa tawalla, meaning remember, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when you frowned out of irritation and you turned away. When? Anja'ahu al-a'ma. When the man came to him, the al-a'ma, the blind man came to him. And the mufassirun, they mention the story of what occurred. And that is that one day in Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sat with Udama Quraysh, with the chieftains of Quraysh and the chiefs of the various tribes. And some of the mufassirun mention who they are, like Utbah ibn Rabi'ah and Abu Jahl, and also Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Ubay ibn Khalaf, and others. And these people like Abu Jahl and Utbah and others like them, they were the chiefs of the tribes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sat with them, not to discuss money or business, rather trying to call them to al-Islam. And he was focused on them. And of course, the thinking of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that if these people accept Islam and they are the chiefs of the tribe and they are respected and feared and they have authority, if these three or four people accept Islam, then those who are under them within their tribe and they obey them, they will also accept Islam. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ was so focused on these four or five people. And then on the other side, and جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى, a blind old man came to him. And this blind old man, it is said he was Ibn Ummi Maktum. And he was from those people who had accepted Islam. However, he wasn't from the chiefs of the tribes or somebody very important in that manner. But he was an old man and he was blind and he had accepted Islam. And he came to the Prophet ﷺ to ask him some questions. And he was repeating these questions. And maybe he was interrupting the Prophet ﷺ. And Al-Baghawi mentions that he came to the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أَقْرِئْنِي وَعَلِّمْنِي مِمَّا عَلَّمَكَ اللَّهِ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, answer me, tell me, teach me what Allah has taught you. And repeating it and repeating his request. And perhaps because due to him being blind, he did not realize who the Prophet ﷺ sat with. And why was he sat with them? And what they were talking about? And perhaps due to being old and blind, he interrupted the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore this caused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to become annoyed and irritated. Because he's so focused on giving Islam and preaching and giving da'wah to those people. And so, Abasa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he frowned out of frustration or irritation, watawalla, and he turned away. And the only thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted was just give me a few minutes, let me talk to these people, perhaps they will answer and then I can answer your question. So this was the thought of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah revealed these ayat correcting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and reminding him, as we will read. And Al-Baghawi mentions that later on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would remember this story, and whenever he would see Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum, he would honor him and respect him. In fact, Al-Baghawi mentions that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, he would say, Marhaban biman aatabani fihi Rabbi. He would always say to Ibn Ummi Maktum, welcome to the one regarding whom my Lord corrected me. Out of respect for Ibn Ummi Maktum. Hal laka haja. Then the Prophet would go to him, do you need anything? Can I help you with anything? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a lot of importance. So much so that in two separate battles, when the Muslims left for the battle, because Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum was old, of course this is now in Al-Madinah, so he made hijrah along with the rest of the companions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would leave him behind, but in order not to hurt his feelings, he would make him in charge. Istakhlafahu. He would appoint him that you are in charge of the people in Al-Madinah. You're going to remain behind, look after the men and the women so nobody else attacks. They need to come to you if they have an issue. And this was twice. And Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu an, he mentions regarding Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum, he said, فَرَأَيْتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقَادِسِيَّةِ عَلَيْهِ دِرْعٌ وَمَعَهُ رَايَةٌ سَوْدَاءٌ. That I saw him on the battle of Al-Qadisiyah, and this was after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, and he was wearing a dir', and also he was carrying the black flag, meaning he had a position of respect. And this was all because of this ayah and this surah which was revealed. And so Allah subhanahu says, Abasa wa tawalla, he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he frowned and he turned away. And جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى, when the blind man came to him and interrupting him. And as I mentioned, this man, he is known as Ibn Ummi Maktum. And some of the Mufassirun mention his name is Abdullah ibn Shuraih. Abdullah ibn Shuraih. And then Allah subhanahu mentions the reason why he is correcting and reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding this. He said, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. And how do you know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that perhaps this old man who you have turned away from, maybe he is the one who will remember and he is the one who will purify his actions. So this is the reason behind this reminder to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you are busy with those chieftains hoping they accept Islam and you've turned away from this old man. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ. But how do you know that maybe this old man will benefit and they will not benefit? يَزَّكَّى, purify, meaning he will purify his actions and he will do righteous actions according to what you have taught him. أَوْ يَذَّكَّرْ فَتَنْفَعُهُ الذِّكْرَى. Or that when you speak to him and you answer his question, he will be reminded, he will learn something and he will remember. And in this is a lesson for us. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not know ilmul ghaib. This is an evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not know ilmul ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen. And neither did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam know who will accept the guidance and who will not accept the guidance. Because this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, the ulama, they divide al-hidayah, guidance, into two types. There is hidayatul bayan, hidayatul da'wah. There is the guidance in terms of you clarifying the truth to the people. That is one type of guidance. You guide the people, meaning clarify the truth to the people. Al-bayan, convey the truth to the people. And then there is hidayatul tawfiq. Then there is the guidance of the heart. And the person accepting the guidance. And this is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not possess this. And this is why Allah subhanahu said in another surah, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That it is not you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you guide whoever you want and you desire and whoever you love. Rather, it is Allah who guides whoever He wills. And this ayah, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This ayah in the Sahihain, it's mentioned it was revealed regarding the closest person to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the biggest supporter and his biggest aider, i.e. his uncle Abu Talib. Because as you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he grew up as an orphan. His father Abdullah passed away before the Prophet even saw him, only a few months. And when he was still an infant, then his mother passed away. And then he was taken under the care of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. And he also then passed away whilst he was young. And then he was taken under the care or the custodianship of Abu Talib. And Abu Talib remained with him before prophethood and even after prophethood. In fact, Abu Talib died in the 10th year of prophethood, 10 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam received an-nubuwwah, meaning when he was 50 years old. And Abu Talib and Khatijah bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, both of them, they passed away in the same year. And Abu Talib was the greatest supporter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from amongst the men. And Khatijah bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, the first person to accept Islam, she was his greatest supporter from his own family. And both of them, they died in the same year, the 10th year of prophethood, 3 years before Hijrah. And in history, this year is known as Aam al-Huzun. The Mu'arrikhun, they consider this year to be Aam al-Huzun, the year of sadness. Because the two closest people and the biggest supporters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, both of them passed away. However, Khatija radiallahu anha passed away upon al-Islam. However, Abu Talib refused to say La ilaha illallah. And the story is mentioned in the books of Hadith. And that is that Abu Talib, when he was on his deathbed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam approached him. And around him were two or three other close friends and the chiefs of the tribes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, knowing that he's going to die soon, he said, Ya Am, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Oh, my beloved uncle, say La ilaha illallah. كَلِمَةً أُحَاجُ بِهَا لَكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And this word, if you say La ilaha illallah, then I can put your case in front of Allah subhanahu, that you died upon La ilaha illallah. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would try to convince him to say La ilaha illallah and die as a Muslim, the others who were around him, and it is mentioned that Abu Jahl was around him, and Abdullah ibn Umayyah was around him, these same people of this story as well, they were close to him. They would say, هَلْ تَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ أَبِيكَ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. That are you going to turn away from the religion of your forefather Abdul Muttalib? After all these years, and you're a chief of the Quraysh, and you're respected amongst us, you're going to now turn away from that religion and die upon this La ilaha illallah? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come to him again and again, Ya Am, qul la ilaha illallah. And then they would also repeat, Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib. Are you going to turn away from the religion of your father Abdul Muttalib? Wa kana akhiru kalamihi annahu ala millati Abdul Muttalib. As the narration mentions, that the last thing regarding Abu Talib was that he is upon the way of Abdul Muttalib. Meaning he refused to say La ilaha illallah. Whether he knew it or he did not know it, but he refused to say it. And therefore he died upon disbelief. And the story is in Sahihain. And then Allah revealed this ayah. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That it is not you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you guide whoever you desire and whoever you love, but it is Allah who guides whoever He wills for a wisdom which He has, for a hikmah which He has. And so the point is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not know ilmul ghayb, and neither could he possess the guidance of the hearts, i.e. the guidance of tawfiq. Rather, what he possessed was al-bayan, wa da'wah, calling the people. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ. The only thing which is upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is al-balagh, go convey the message. As for accepting the message, this is the decree of Allah according to His wisdom. And Allah subhanahu said, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That it is not upon you their guidance, rather it is Allah who guides whoever He wills. And Allah subhanahu said, وَمَا أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. That many of the people, even if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are focused and you desire for their guidance, they will not accept iman. But وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam desired their guidance, and he wanted their guidance. And so this is also a lesson for every person who is a da'i, and every Muslim has to be a da'i. That your responsibility is to convey the religion of Allah to the people through your statements, through your actions, through your knowledge, through your good manners. This is your responsibility. As for whether people accept Islam or they do not accept Islam, that is not your responsibility. And many of the people did not accept Islam from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But walau harasta, but he remained focused and desiring their guidance. So even if we know that many people will not accept our da'wah, but it does not mean that we lose hope or we lose our desire. The hirs, the desire of conveying the da'wah to the people, has to always remain. And also, this incident, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّىٰ أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَىٰ, is an evidence that the Qur'an is the truth. Can anybody tell me how? And this story, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّىٰ أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَىٰ, all of this story. Where is the evidence that this Qur'an is from Allah? Tafadhal akhi.
The Prophet will not say something about himself.
Ahsant. Because if this was something that the Prophet had written, then a person would not write something which condemns his own actions or rebukes his own actions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recited this. And this means that this was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in your own book, you praise your own self. You don't put your own self down or rectify your own self. Rather, you praise your own self. And so this shows, firstly, that these are the words of Allah. Secondly, the sidq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he recited to us the Quran in its entirety, like it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was anything which could be left out, then this would have been left out. But he never left anything out. Addal amana. Rather, he fulfilled. Wa ballagha risala. And he conveyed. And also, a third evidence that this is from Allah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Amma man istaghna. And as for the one who you were turned towards, yani those people, the rich people, istaghna, I don't need anybody, I don't need Islam, I don't need those people, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. Then you are giving them all of your attention. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. And it's not upon you, there's no blame upon you if they do not accept Islam. Also, this is an evidence of the truthfulness of the Quran. Because this old man who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned away from, he accepted Islam. And those people to whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was turning to and focused on, some of them did not accept Islam. Abu Jahl did not accept al-Islam. So this also shows the truthfulness of the Quran. Because had those people wanted to doubt the Quran and finish Islam, they could have done very easily. Yani, Abu Lahab, his condemnation came in the Quran, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. All he had to say, even falsely say, no, I accept Islam, la ilaha illallah. This Quran is not the truth, I accept Islam. Even if it was lying, but he did not do so. And also these people, if they wanted to go against Islam, they could have just lied. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى, they could have said, no, actually we do believe, even if it's a lie. But they could not do so. And this shows that the prophecies of the Quran, they were correct. Allah prophesied that Abu Lahab would be condemned and die upon kufr. And had he wanted to falsify the Quran, he could have lied and said, no, I accept Islam. But he could not do so. His arrogance was too much. And so he died upon that which Allah had revealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى, that there's no blame upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether people purify their actions or they don't purify their actions, or whether they accept Islam or they don't accept Islam, this is not upon you. Yeah, meaning that you are focused on them so much and you desire their guidance so much, and it hurts you when they do not accept your guidance. But you should know there's no blame upon you. Rather, your obligation is just to convey the message. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى. But on the other side, you have this person, جَاءَكَ, he has come to you. يَسْعَى, and he's striving, and he wants to know something, he wants to learn, he desires to learn. Meaning, compare these two groups of people. On one side, yes, they are عُذَمَا قُرَيْش. Yes, they are the chieftains of Quraysh. And yes, perhaps if they accept Islam, many other people will accept Islam. But they don't want to, and they have no desire. And they are istaghna. They think that they are not in need of Islam because they are rich and people of authority. On the other side, you have this blind old man. But he has come to you. Yas'a, and he desires guidance, and he wants guidance. Wahuwa yakhsha, and he's in a state of khashya. He's in awe of Islam. He is in awe of Allah and at-tawheed and the message which you have come with. But فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَّى. But you are distracted away from the one who desires guidance and seeks guidance to those people who don't want it. And they have arrogance with them. And they don't desire learning or al-Islam. And As-Sa'di rahimahullah, he mentions a beautiful benefit here, يعني فائدة تربوية. He said, that he said هذه فائدة كبيرة, that this story and these two groups of people and the focus of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon them and turning away from him, this contains a great benefit. هي المقصودة من بعثة الرسول. It shows us the goal and the objective behind the sending of the Prophet. الوعظ والتذكير المذكرين, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come to admonish the people and to remind those who will be reminded. فإقبالك على من جاء بنفسه مفتقرا لذلك منك هو الأليق والواجب. And therefore, it is more appropriate for you, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to turn to the one and give attention to the person who himself comes to you and desires knowledge from you, as opposed to turning to them. وَأَمَّا تَعَرُّضُكَ لِلْغَنِيِّ الْمُسْتَغْنِي الَّذِي لَا يَسْأَلْ وَلَا يَسْتَفْتِي لِعَدَمْ رَغْبَتِهِ فِي الْخَيْرِ. And as for you turning to those people who they don't desire the truth anyway, they don't want the truth, and they are being arrogant, and they see themselves above the truth. مَعَ تَرْكِكَ مَنْ هُوَ أَهَمْ مِنْهُمْ. And you turning away from those who are more important, i.e. this man who desires the truth. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي لَكْ. Then this is not correct. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ يُزَكِّي. Because it's not upon you whether they accept or not. Rather just give the message, and give the message to everybody. فَدَلَّ هَذَا عَلَى الْقَاعِدَةِ الْمَشْهُورَةِ. As-Sa'di said, so this ayah, this story, it is an evidence for the well-known principle, لَا يُتْرَكْ أَمْرٌ مَعْلُومٌ لِأَمْرٍ مَوْهُومٌ. نعم. وَلَا يُتْرَكْ, some of the ulama, they say, وَلَا يُتْرَكَ الْمَعْلُومُ لِلْمَجْهُولِ. وَلَا يُتْرَكَ الْمَعْلُومُ لِلْمَوْهُومِ. Meaning, you don't leave something which is attainable for something, maybe you'll attain, maybe you'll not attain. You don't leave something which is known for something which is unknown, perhaps. And where's the evidence for this in this story? That you've got one person who's coming to you and he wants to learn. And so if you turn to him, he will benefit and he will learn and he will maybe go and try to guide others. And so this is something which is attainable. And instead of focusing on that person, you focus on the other people, mohum, maybe, maybe not, most likely not. And you're sacrificing this one for that one. So this story is an evidence, even in our lives, like min bab at-tarbiyah, that when you have something which is within your powers and it is attainable, don't leave that thing and instead try to focus on something which is unattainable in the first place. Because what will happen is neither have you attained that which was attainable and you could have done and you could have changed, and yet at the same time, that which you placed all your focus and energy on, you have not attained that either. And even within our masajid, there's many responsibilities. You know, in the masjid, for example, and also in Islam, there are many, many responsibilities. And there are many obligations that we have to fulfill. But some of those responsibilities, you have the ability to do them. And other responsibilities, you have no ability to do them. So fulfill that which you can do. Attain that which is attainable. And as for that which is not attainable, and neither is it your responsibility, and neither you have the ability to do so, then don't waste your time over there. I'll give you an example. You have within your houses, within your families, within your masajid, within your small communities, things which you can do, things you can change, and people that need, that require your attention. Now, instead of focusing on them, what do you do? We need to establish the khilafah. Upon the earth, we need to go establish the khilafah. But you are leaving something which is attainable and is surrounding you and it requires your immediate attention. And you're focusing on something which you have no ability absolutely to establish, which is the khilafah upon the earth. And you find this among some of the groups. The only thing they have, we need to go establish al-khilafah. 50 years later, we need to establish khilafah. They haven't established a single masjid in their area. They haven't produced a single talib al-ilm from their family, but we need to establish al-khilafah. And you find other people just focus on their responsibility. Sahih, the khilafah does need to be established. And those people who are responsible and able, that's a responsibility upon them. As for me, my family, my children, my neighborhood, my community, my houses, my neighbors, they require my attention. So this is the principle. لا يترك أمر معلوم لأمر موهوم. Don't leave something which is attainable within your responsibility for something maybe or perhaps. Or they say, لا تترك مصلحة متحققة لمصلحة متوهمة. That a benefit which is real and can be attained and achievable should not be left for something which perhaps, maybe, or maybe not, most likely not. And so the point here is, also from the benefits of this ayah is, to concentrate on the tulab al-ilm. Na'am. Everybody requires da'wah without doubt. The whole ummah, the whole country requires da'wah. But sometimes you have in front of you a small group of brothers, tulab al-ilm. They have a desire for knowledge. And they are approaching you. And they place their hearts and their minds in your hand. And instead of giving them your attention and giving them your time, you turn to another responsibility, which no doubt it's a responsibility. But you're sacrificing those people who are in your hands and trying to do something which maybe you'll never be able to attain. So like this. And so in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it isn't your responsibility to focus all your focus on one or two people and at the expense of one or two other people. Rather, call everybody and warn everybody and let everybody hear your message. Yusawi bain al-sharif wal-da'if, and that Islam is a message which is for every person equally. The sharif, the one who is high in authority, wal-da'if, and the downtrodden and the weak, wal-faqir wal-ghani, and the poor and the rich, والسادة والعبيد, and the masters and the slaves, والرجال والنساء, and the men and the women, والصغار والكبار, and the old and the young. And then ثم يهدي الله من يشاء, and then Allah guides whoever He wants. As I mentioned from this story, that old man accepted Islam and died upon Islam رضي الله عنه. And he became the Amir of Al-Madina when the Muslims would leave. And those chieftains who the Prophet was focused on, then most of them from that group, they did not accept Al-Islam. And they died as unknowns. And this also shows us how Islam elevates people and how the Quran elevates some people and how it belittles other people. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يرفع بهذا الكتاب أقوام ويضع الآخرين, that groups of people are raised by this Quran and other groups of people are lowered by this Quran, meaning because they do not accept it. So he was the old man and they were the chieftains. A few years later, this old man, because of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leaving him behind to be the person in charge of the whole of Al-Madinah. And those chieftains, when they rejected the Quran, where are they? Yani in the dustbins of history. No mention of them anymore, except that they are dispraised and rebuked and bad things are mentioned regarding them. So this shows how Islam raises and how other people are. And also from the benefits of this story is, don't look at the state of that person now, because you never know in the future who that person might be. So for example, in our masajid, we have children. Don't look at them like they are children, but look at them that perhaps tomorrow this child may become a doctor, may become the leader of the community, may become a person of authority. Na'am. So we always look towards the potential of the one who is in front of you, not the state of the person right now. Because even the great imams of Al-Islam, they were also normal children. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, they were not born as a'imma. When they were children, they were not a'imma. They were children like the children of today. But the guidance of Allah and the potential which they had. So we always look at the potential of where that child can be tomorrow and not at that person as a child. And then Allah subhanahu said, Kalla innaha tadhkira. That these words which have been revealed to you and this reminder and this correction, it is a tadhkira. It is only a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. And so whoever wills will remember and act by it and implement it. And these words and these ayat, where are they contained? فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَ. That these ayat and this revelation, these reminders, they are contained in a suhuf, sheets and scrolls, which are mukarrama, meaning elevated and protected. And some of them said, suhufin mukarrama, meaning a lawh al-mahfuz. And others said, suhufin mukarrama, yani suhuf Ibrahim wa Musa, because these messages and this guidance also came in the suhuf. Marfu'atin mutahhara. And this guidance and this revelation, which is contained in these suhuf, these scrolls and these records, they are marfu'a, exalted, mutahhara, purified. Bi'aydi safara, carried by the hands of as-safara. And as-safara ay al-mala'ika, al-kiram. Because then Allah said, kiramin barara. That these safara, these messengers, they are kiram. They are honored, meaning honored by Allah. And they are barara, meaning they are obedient to Allah subhanahu. And safara, like the safir. And in Arabic, the safir, this is a title given to the delegation. When a delegation goes from one country to another country on behalf of the prime minister, for example, they call him safir. So safara, because they are also like delegates, messengers, whom Allah sent down from the heavens to the earth. And all of this, what has preceded, is the first theme of this surah. The occurrence, or that story which occurred with Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum and the Uthama Quraysh, and the reaction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the reminder to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the benefit to us. Then after this is the second theme of this surah. And this is regarding the nature of humans, the nature of men and women. And then many people, they see around them the ni'mah of Allah, they see around them the blessings of Allah and so many blessings, but it does not affect their hearts. And they do not show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ أَيْ لُعِنَ الْإِنسَانُ. How cursed are some people. Why? مَا أَكْفَرَ. Because of how unappreciative they are. The word kufr, it has a number of meanings. So kufr can mean to conceal something, to hide something or to cover something. Kufr can also mean a tark, to leave something or abandon something or reject something. Kufr can also mean to be unappreciative. Washkuruli wala takfurun. Allah said, show me shukr wala takfurun, and do not show me kufr. And this ayah shows, Surah Baqarah, that a shukr and kufr, they are also opposites. So a shukr means to be grateful and appreciative. And as for al-kufr, then it is to be ungrateful. And that's why they say kufrun ni'mah, to not be grateful for a blessing. So this is the meaning in this ayah. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ مَا أَكْفَرَ. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ, Ibn Abbas said, أي لُعِنَ الْإِنسَانِ. Like how debased and how cursed some people are. مَا أَكْفَرَ, because of how ungrateful they are and unappreciative they are. And then Allah subhanahu mentions the feeble nature of humans. And he mentions this to make the point that who are you to disregard al-Islam? Who are you to be ungrateful to Allah? مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. This human who is cursed because of how ungrateful he is and how stubborn he is and how arrogant he is and how haughty he is, who is he in the first place? مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. What was he created from? Where did he come from? Min nutfa. He only came from a drop of sperm, a discharge of liquid. This is what we are. Water and clay, a discharge of sperm, then it becomes a clot of blood. This is our asal. So what right do we have as humans to be arrogant over others or over other creation? Min nutfa khalaqahu faqaddara. Rather, this human, he came from a sperm drop created by Allah, and then Allah creates his destiny. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. And that those blessings which you are rejecting, then remember that it is Allah who has made the ways and the paths easy for you. Meaning, you were created from a nutfa. You were created from a discharge of sperm. And then you came out. And then you were shown in this dunya the ways to do things. It is Allah who gave you the ability to learn. It is Allah who gave you the ability to speak. It is Allah who gave you the ability to go earn. It is Allah who taught you how to farm and cultivate and manufacture and grow and speak. All of this is from تيسير السبيل. ثم السبيل يسر, meaning, and then we made the path easy for him, meaning the path of learning and working and harvesting and farming and languages and skills and abilities and strength. All of this is from the ease of Allah subhanahu. Like Allah said in the Quran in another ayah, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Verily, we are the ones who have guided the people to the paths, to the ways, in the dunya and the akhirah. Then people are two types. إِمَّا شَاكِر, either grateful, appreciative, or kafur, or ungrateful, and rejecting the blessings of Allah. And also in this ayah is fa'ida tarbawiya, that whenever we achieve something or attain something of success, we should always ascribe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should never, as Muslims, as people of tawheed, we don't ascribe our success to our own selves. Rather, even our success, we ascribe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Anything good which comes to you, say this is from the kindness of my Lord. And this is the pinnacle of at-tawheed. This is the meaning of at-tawheed. You did well in your exams. Tell me, how did you do well in my exams? I studied hard. I was clever. I went to tuition. My teachers, no. This is not what the believer says. The believer says, هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. First, the guidance of my Lord. The easiness of my Lord. The guidance, it is Allah who showed me. And Allah who gave me the skills. And then after this, نعم, I worked hard, I revised. You've done well in your business. How did you do so well in your business? I came up with a good business plan. Then I did, then I did, then I did. Then the bank did. No. The believer says, هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Firstly, it is Allah who guided me to this. It is Allah who made this easy for me. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And my success and my guidance and my prosperity, it is only with Allah. And then after this, I planned and I worked hard and so on and so forth. So also from the benefits of this ayah, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then it is Allah who eases the way for the people. Is that any type of success, you ascribe to Allah because you understand that it is Allah who has made this path easy for you. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَ. And then also Allah mentions other blessings upon the people. And look at the blessing he mentions, that Allah causes him death, فَأَقْبَرَ. And Allah is the one who has put it in mankind that we should bury our dead. فَأَقْبَرَ, meaning we bury our dead in the earth. So Allah has put this inside us, that us as human beings, our bodies are honored, whether they are alive or dead. And therefore they should be buried in the ground. Not like the other animals. The other animals, they die and they rot upon the earth. And maybe you're walking even 5 years after that animal has died and you'll see the skull upon the floor, eaten by vultures and animals. As for the insan, Allah honored him, not just in his life, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ Not only in his life, but even after death, such that he is buried, and his remains are hidden in the earth. So even this is a ni'mah. Even this is a ni'mah that we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu for. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ And then when Allah wills, He'll resurrect that person. And when Allah resurrects that person, He will ask him, Were you from the Shakirin or were you from the Kafirin? All of you saw my blessings and you saw everything I gave to you. Were you from those who are grateful so I can reward you? Or were you from the ungrateful and those who rejected so you will be punished? كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَ And this man, neither is he grateful to Allah for the ni'm, neither does he fulfill the obligations which are upon him. And then Allah subhanahu again reminds the person and humans about more blessings. He said, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ That if you want to know the blessing which Allah has given you, then just look at your food. The food which you're eating every day, the breakfast in the morning, the lunch, whenever you become hungry, all of this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu. Some of the salaf, they used to say that if you want to know the blessings of Allah upon you, then close your eyes for a few moments. Close your eyes for a few moments and then you realize the blessing of sight. If you want to know the blessings of Allah upon you, then go hungry for a short while. And then you'll realize the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu upon you. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ So let people consider their food. And فَلْيَنْظُرْ Not only look, but think about your food. Contemplate your food, ponder over your food. And this will show you that Allah has given you this ni'mah. And also, أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّ And look, when the rain comes down, how it comes down, صَبَّ in abundance. And why? ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ And after this rain comes down, how we open the earth and the land. When is the earth opened? When the sprouts come out, and the grains grow, and the seeds produce plants, and the earth opens a tiny little bit in order for everything to be produced. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّ And we cause grains to grow. All of this is ni'mah. All of this is to remind the people to show shukr and not al-kufr. وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا And how we have allowed grapes to grow and other herbs and also olives and date trees, the palms. And As-Sa'di said, وَخَصَّ هَذِهِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ لِكَثْرَةِ فَوَائِدِهَا وَمَنَافِعِهَا That Allah specifically mentions grapes and herbs, yani herbage, and olives and date trees because of the benefits, the nutritional benefits of these matters. وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا And also look at the earth and the gardens and how densely things grow in them. And as for غُلْبَ, أي الشجر الذي يستظل به, trees, not only that you benefit from in terms of the fruits and what grows on there, but also that you seek shade under the tree. وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّ And also fruits, which you eat, every day you eat. And you don't think about the ni'mah of Allah upon you. وَأَبَّ And as for أَبَّ, Ibn Abbas said, مَا أَنْبَتَتْ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا تَأْكُلُهُ الدَّوَابِ So fakiha are the fruits which you eat. And as for abba, then it is what your animals eat, what your cattle graze upon, what you do not eat. And there's a narration which is mentioned regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Ibn Kathir mentions that this ayah, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّ Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was questioned regarding this ayah. وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّ We know the meaning of fakiha. We know the meaning of fruit. It's clear. What is the meaning of أَبَّ And As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he refused to answer. So they repeated, What is the meaning of أَبَّ How can you not know? You are As-Siddiq. And he replied, He said, أَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تُظِلُّنِي وأي أرض تقلني إذا قلت في القرآن ما لا أعلم. He said, if I say something regarding the Quran which I do not know, then which sky will shade me from the punishment of Allah? And which earth will protect me from the punishment of Allah? And who was this? As-Siddiq radiallahu an. And so also, in this is the lesson that when it comes to Al-Islam, and when it comes to the ayat of the Quran, that we don't speak about them without knowledge. But Ibn Abbas said, Umar said, if you know of the tafsir, mention the tafsir. As for explaining the ayat upon your understanding and your logic and your desires and change them whichever way you want to change to suit your desires, then remember the saying of As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, أَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تُظِلُّنِي وَأَيُّ أَرْضٍ تُقِلُّنِي إِذَا قُلْتُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ مَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. Which sky will protect you and shade you, and which earth will give you refuge if you speak regarding the Quran of that which you do not know. And then after mentioning all of these benefits, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ, that this is provisions for you, you human who rejects the blessings of Allah, and also your cattle. Not only has Allah protected, given for us and provided for us, but even our cattle, even our animals, Allah provides for all of them. And yet people stubbornly reject and they forget and they do not show shukr to Allah. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only a few of my people show a shukr. And then the third theme of the ayah begins to remind people about the akhirah. He said, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ, and when there comes on that day, the صَاخَّةِ, and الصَّاخَّةِ أي صَيْحَةُ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, the loud, deafening sound which will occur on يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And it was called الصَّاخَّةِ لِأَنَّهَا تُصِخَّ الْأَسْمَاعِ, because it causes people's hearing to almost be deafened. And it is so overwhelming and so loud that it will cause the people to become almost deafened. And this is how loud and severe it will be. And so, As-Sakha ismun min asma'i yawm al-qiyamah, is a name from the names of yawm al-qiyamah. And in many surah of Juz Amma, the names of yawm al-qiyamah are mentioned. And what will happen on that day and how severe will it be? يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, that on that day, every person will run away from his closest people. أخي, his brother, meaning his brother or his sister. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and his mother and his father. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, and his spouse, his wife and his children. And people will flee away from each other, not because they don't recognize each other. So a person will recognize that this is my father, this is my mother, this is my wife, this is my children. Each person will recognize this. But despite this, the affair will be so severe, may Allah protect us on that day, that every person will run away and flee away from the closest people who are to them. And in this ayah, notice how Allah subhanahu mentions the closest and most precious people to you. And the Prophet, that Allah subhanahu did not say that each person will run away from his friend or his colleague or his neighbor. Rather, the most precious people, the closest people, your father, your mother, nobody more dear to you. Your children, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, nobody more closer to you. Yet even those people, despite how strong your alaqa is in the dunya, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, each person will be alone. And this ayah shows us the reality of our life, that in reality, every person is alone. And there will occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah, perhaps a father will enter into Jannah, but maybe his son who died upon kufr will enter into Jahannam. So just as every person came into this dunya alone, then also every person will leave this dunya alone. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, every person will have what he acted upon. You will not be rewarded for the action which your father did. Rather, For him is his reward and for you is your reward. And why will people be fleeing away from each other even though they recognize each other? لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. Because on that day, each person will have his own affair, his own tribulation, his own concern, his own worry. Nobody will worry about each other. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned how people will be resurrected naked, barefooted and uncircumcised, how people came into this dunya, in the same way they will be resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Every single person will be naked, barefooted and uncircumcised. And Ummul Mu'mineen, Habibatu Habibillah radiyallahu anha, she said, O Messenger of Allah, each person will be naked, barefooted, circumcised, and yet you'll see your father and your mother and your brother and your sister. And the Prophet, and you, will you not feel shy? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Aisha, al-amru ashad. That, O Aisha, on that day, events will be too severe. Each person will only be concerned with their own state. Nobody will even look at anybody else. And on that day, there'll be two groups of people. On that day, there'll be two groups of people. And this goes back to the beginning of the ayah. Those who showed shukr, and those who showed kufr. Those who appreciated the ni'mah of Allah, and those who rejected and were ungrateful, and they disbelieved in Allah. As for those who showed a shukr, the people of shukr, he said, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٍ. Then they will be those people whose faces on that day, musfira, happy, delighted, shiny, smiling, bright. Why? Dahika, mustabshira, laughing, mustabshira, knowing of the good news and the glad tidings which is for them. Because they showed shukr to Allah for His ni'mah, they lived with taqwa, and they died upon at-tawheed. And so those people on that day, they will have وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. Smiley faces, bright faces, happy faces, laughing, joyous, مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ, because they know of the glad tidings, the good news which they have been promised with. And on that day, Allah will prepare for the people of shukr houses and castles and ghuraf and rooms. And when the people of shukr, when they enter into Jannah, they will not even need to ask, where is their house? Each person will know that this is where my house is. This is where my place is. May Allah make us from those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. He said, Allah will enter them into Jannah, عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. And He has made it known to them. The people of tafsir, the scholars of tafsir, they said, A, Ahlul Jannah ya'rifuna buyutahum kama anna ahl dunya ya'rifuna buyutahum. That the people of Jannah, they will know which one is their house. Just like you know where your house is. Nobody goes to the wrong house. You know your house. Also, when people enter into Jannah, they will know which one is their house. And then the second group of people, he said, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَ تَرْهَقُهَا قَطَرَ. He said, and other faces that day will have upon them dust. Tarhaquha, meaning they will be overcome by qatara ay as-sawad, meaning darkness due to gloom and worry. And here the sawad and the qatara, the darkness and the blackness, it's not like the blackness or the darkness upon the earth. Yani amongst the humans are those people whose skins are darker than others. And people are described as being black or white or brown. And yet at the same time, they have upon them a nur. So the darkness of the akhirah is the darkness due to dhulm and due to gloom and being worried. And who are those people? Ulaika humul kafara. That they are not the shakirun, they are the kafirun. And what is the meaning of the kafirun here? Kufrun ni'mah. Those who are unappreciative and ungrateful of the blessings of Allah. And they are al-fajara. They are the wicked ones, the fajr, the sinners, those who do not obey Allah subhanahu. And so, as I mentioned, this surah contains many benefits. Benefits in our lives, in how we should try to put all our efforts in that which is attainable and what we can do and our responsibility, and don't be distracted by other things. And also truthfulness of the Quran and truthfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for us to show shukr to Allah every time we see a ni'mah. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وجزاكم الله خيرا.